Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. We'll be reading tonight the first seven verses of this chapter. Romans 13, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, children, as I was in my study this afternoon and preparing for tonight, out of my window, every couple minutes or so, I would hear a big boom outside. Maybe those of you in town have heard some of the same things. It was not a thunderstorm. It was fireworks going off. Maybe sometime this past week you went to watch some fireworks or plan to tomorrow night. Because today, in addition to being the Lord's Day, also happens to be the 4th of July. The 4th of July we mark as the founding of our country. Now tonight we are not here for a history lesson about the United States. I don't believe that I'm qualified to give that lesson anyway. We are not here to somehow baptize the United States and make us as a nation God's chosen people. We may not make unwarranted parallels between Old Testament Israel as a nation and our nation. But I think that we don't often give a lot of thought to what is our relationship then as Christians to the government. And it seemed appropriate then tonight that to spend some time together looking at what God's Word says about that. What is the relationship between the Christian and the place, the government under which he is under authority? Because this has been seen from a variety of views. There are a whole range of views out there with regard to the Christian and the government. Some take the position that Christians should have absolutely nothing to do with the government. The government is a pagan organization. We should do everything we can to avoid it. We should never run for office, barely even vote unless we have to. And they take a real approach that the government is really a hands-off. It does not belong to the Christian to be involved in governmental affairs. Some take what we might call the opposite approach, and that is that the government should be guided, should be directed, should be governed by the Old Testament civil law. God gave us civil and ceremonial laws, and there are those who would like to see that reinstated. Maybe you've heard of the term theonomy, a desire to bring the ceremonial law of God to bear on the state. And the state then does become somewhat of an equivalent of Old Testament Israel. Some believers hold that position. Tonight we look at Romans 13, and I hope at something of a balanced position between those two. We do not abhor the government. We do not ignore the government. Nor do we seek to see the government become Old Testament Israel. But rather, we look at Paul's instruction for how we are to deal with those governing authorities over us. Hopefully, a biblical balanced view on what our relationship is to the government, to the land in which we live. Paul gave instructions. He begins, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." That's his bottom line. We are to be subject. Why? For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. The governing authorities are not simply man-made institutions, but God determined that for the good of society there would be order and structure, reminding us that God Himself is the ultimate authority. He is the one that can set up authorities, for He has the final authority. We read that earlier in Psalm 148. God is the God who is king. God is the God who is the ruler. The heavens are to bring Him praise because He is ruler. The earth is to bring Him praise because He is ruler. God has original authority. And in doing that, God also brings structure and order in our lives. God upholds and rules His creation, but He also puts structures in place, governing authorities to help us. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, I'm not claiming that God determined that a representative democracy was the best form of government, but God did put structures in place, governmental structures in general, that we have those to whom we are to submit, to be in subjection to. The government has a derived authority, an authority from God Himself. Just like all parts of our life have a derived authority from God. In marriage, there is an authority structure. God has determined that the husband should be the head of the wife. There's an authority relationship there, not because men like that or women like that, but because God has determined it that way. In the family, there's an authority structure. The parents are the authority over the children because that's what God wants. In the church, we have an authority structure. The elders are in authority over us because God wants it that way. And in our regular life, in our ongoing dealings with society, God puts structures, authorities in place. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, Paul says, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. As believers, we are not allowed to rebel against the proper governing authorities. God has placed the authorities over us. And Paul says, those who resist them are resisting what God Himself has appointed, and they will incur a judgment. The role of the believer is not to try to overthrow the government. The role of the believer is to be in subjection, in submission to the governing authorities, recognizing there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist have been instituted by God. And I find that particularly striking when you think about those to whom Paul is writing. He is writing to those under a Roman government. Now, the Roman government was certainly not a Christian institution. It was certainly not an institution that sought to bring glory to God. In spite of that, God says you are to be in subjection to them. We cannot claim that just because we don't like what the government's doing, just because the government is even acting in an unchristian way, that somehow we may try to overthrow them. Paul is writing to those under Roman authority, a pagan, godless government. And he says, it has been established, instituted by God. Whoever resists, resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Our role as believers is to, in submission to God, submit also to the governing authorities. Just as the Christians in Rome were called to do so, so today we are called. Now, in what ways do we submit, or in what areas does the government work which requires our submission? What are their particular tasks that have been given to the government? Well, Paul highlights two things here, two tasks given to them. Verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." The government is given two particular tasks to do by God. They are to punish evildoers. They are to protect the righteous. The government is to punish evildoers. "For a ruler is not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one in authority? Then do what is good, because they do not bear the sword in vain." In a certain sense, because there are laws in the state, that can be for us a restraint of sin. Because I know that if I misuse alcohol, get behind the wheel of my car, drive down the road and kill someone, there will be civil consequences. And the fear of those consequences can be a restraint of sin. Because I know that if I engage in selling controlled substances, I may be caught by the authorities and jailed. That is a restraint. We fear what the government might do to us. God uses them to punish evildoers, to punish those who do wrong. And that fear, at times, restrains us. And I have to wonder if with regard to the restraint of sin, if perhaps we fear the government more than we fear the church. I'm not talking about what people will think if we get caught in a crime. I'm not talking about that. But the spiritual consequences of the sins that we commit. To be sure, if I take up a firearm and kill someone, there will be civil consequences, but spiritual as well. Whom do we fear more? The judgment of the magistrate or the judgment of the elders? Because you see, the sword is that which is given to the state. The state, in the most dire of situations, is allowed to take a life. But that's all they can do. The state can only take a life. The church holds the keys of eternal life. The church, through preaching and discipline, holds the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about a temporal punishment, but an eternal one. We're not talking about civic judgments, but spiritual judgments. The state has its role. It is powerful, but it is limited. The most they can do is take someone's life. The church
holds the keys of the kingdom.
In one of our confessional documents, the Belgic Confession, there is an article about the civil government. And perhaps you want to look this up later. It's Article 36. There's a footnote added to the confession, an explanatory note. It says this: "And being called in this manner," the government, "being called in this manner to contribute to the advancement of a society that is pleasing to God, the civil rulers have a task in subjection to the law of God, while completely refraining from every tendency toward exercising absolute authority, and while functioning in the sphere entrusted to them and with the means belonging to them, to remove every obstacle from the preaching of the gospel and to every aspect of divine worship, or that the word of God may have free course, the kingdom of Jesus Christ may make progress, and every anti-Christian power may be resisted." The state has a role in its sphere, and its authority exercised within that sphere without crossing over the boundaries. The state is powerful, but limited in its power. It is there for the punishment of evildoers, and for the protection of the righteous. Do what is good, you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. The Belgic Confession article reminds us that the state allows for the preaching of the gospel. The state allows for religion to take place. That's why they are the servant of God, to allow for these things to happen. Now, the state is not called to preach the gospel. That's not their calling. But they are to allow for religion to take place. They are to allow for the gospel to be proclaimed. You say, but just like we're here tonight, and we're gathered for worship, and we have the preaching of the gospel, the state would allow us, if we were Buddhist, to gather tonight and to have a service together. The state would allow us, if we were Mormon, to gather tonight as a ward and meet together and talk about these things. The state allows for all religion. But you see, that's exactly the point. The state is not equipped to preach the gospel. The state is not equipped, nor is it their calling, to make those distinctions. That's why the church is so important. We need the church to continue. Some people want to see the church somewhat sidelined because they see the church as something of a social agency. Need some help? Need help paying your rent? Need some food? Go to the church or go to the state. It's all the same. Now, to be sure, the diaconal arm of the church is important, but it is a ministry of deed and word. The state is not equipped nor called to preach the gospel. That is the calling of the church. That is why we exist. The state allows us to be here, allows for the preaching to go on. But it is here where we come to hear the words of life. The state is not our Savior. If we only learn more about being a good citizen, that will not save us. We know our fallen nature. We know our total depravity. We know we have a natural tendency to hate God and our neighbor. The state can't change that. Only the church. Only the power of Jesus Christ. Only the preaching of the gospel. That's why we're here tonight. To recognize we're here under the freedom of the state. But to hear about Jesus Christ. To hear that He has died for our sins. He has washed away our iniquities. And we are called to love Him and to serve Him and to be under the authorities He has placed over us. So we don't look for laws requiring the preaching of the gospel, but for allowing the gospel to go forward. Paul says the governing authorities are a divine institution. They have particular tasks that they have been given And he begins, let every person be subject. He picks that up again in verse 6. For because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. We must be in subjection. Proper, required subjection. Paul says, if the government asks for taxes, then we are to pay our taxes. Believers are not to be those who are holding tax revolts and claiming we don't like where the money's going, so we're not going to pay. This was Rome. And Paul says, pay your taxes to the pagan government. We render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect and honor to whom they are owed. And this is a little harder. Paying our taxes is simply a matter of writing out a check. Now, none of us particularly like that, but it's simply a matter of finance. Paul says, with regard to the governing authorities, give them respect. Give them honor. This is a matter of the heart. Recognizing them as Paul says, ministers of God. How often do we think about the government authorities that way? They are servants of God, ministers of God. Not because they are such good men and women, but because of the office to which they have been called. And we are called to honor those offices. How do we talk about the governing authorities? How do we talk about those who are in authority over us? How do we talk about the police officer who pulls us over when we were only going 3 miles over the speed limit? How do we recount that story to our friends? What names and terms do we use? Are we showing proper honor? Are we showing proper respect for the sake of the office of the authority? God calls us as believers to care for those in authority over us, to give obedience to them. Honor is an internal thing. Obedience is external. To be good citizens of the land in which we live. Recognizing all authority comes from God. And that's the one stipulation. Remembering all authority comes from God. We must submit, be in subjection to the governing authorities because they are ministers of God, servants of His, established by Him. But when they contradict and cause us to violate the Word of God, then we defer to God's ultimate authority. The state has simply derived authority. But when they force us to break God's laws, then we recognize our ultimate obedience is to the great King of Kings, the great God over all. Our ultimate obedience is to the law of God. And if the state causes us to violate that law, then we follow God. And we expect the temporal punishment. We don't expect that we will follow God in violation of the state and somehow we'll get away with it. But then we submit with honor, with respect, for the sake of God and for His authority. We pay our taxes. We have respect and honor. We obey those in authority over us. And elsewhere, Paul will tell us to be in prayer. To be in prayer for the governing authorities. 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Be in prayer for the government officials. Be in prayer for those in authority over us, thanking God for them. Thanking God for the offices. Thanking God for the rule of law that we enjoy in this country. We sometimes take the freedoms that we have for granted, but when you talk with those who have been under truly oppressive governments, we should be overwhelmed with thanksgiving for the blessings God has given to us. We may not like everything the government does, but we do live in peace, and we do live in freedom. And for that, God gets the thanks. And we thank God for the rule of law, for the authorities He has placed over us, for the blessings that overflow to us. And we intercede on behalf of our elected officials. We pray for God's blessing upon them, that He would guide and direct them, that He would, if necessary, convert their hearts, that they might do His will from a wholehearted thanksgiving, but that they might lead and guide as His ministers, that we would have the blessing living under the authority of God, under the authority of the government. God calls us as believers, as those who know His ultimate authority, as those who recognize Him as King and Jesus Christ as Lord, as our Lord, as our Savior. He calls us. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. May God give us hearts to follow the instruction of His Word. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for Your church. We thank You have given the church a particular calling, the calling of preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the reminder of our sinfulness and Your glorious grace. And we thank You that gospel preaching may go on and is allowed because of the government. And so we pray for those in authority over us. We pray prayers of thanksgiving for them, for the offices to which they have been called. We pray prayers of blessing for them, that You would lead and guide them as Your ministers, as Your servants, and that You would help us to have a proper respect, a proper awe, honor, and obedience of those in authority over us. May we always recognize, in being obedient to them, we are also demonstrating obedience to You. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.